This week on the program, it's a remake with so many plot holes, it's a cinematic Grand Canyon. It's The Stepford Wives from 2004. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sexbot.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Stepfordska.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, one was better than the other. And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to our fine program, as always. Like we said up top, it's the Stepford Wives remake from 2004, directed somehow by the legendary Frank Oz.
Legendary puppet performer.
Yeah.
That guy. Well, what, so what? No, yeah.
directed by a guy known for fisting Yoda.
Was he doing the fisting or was he just voicing?
I think he did a little bit of both.
Yeah, was that like a stip, man?
If you're doing the anal, you got to do the oral.
How else are you going to get connect with your puppet character?
Hold on. I just want to, I'm going to bring it out. Eric was like, you know what? Today I'm going to be a family-friendly comedian. Yeah, that lasted 13 seconds.
I am trying to restrain myself.
So you didn't talk about the sound it made when he did anal to Yoda.
I didn't talk about the sound. Did I talk about the sound?
No, a little bit of
not yet.
Wait, Chris, could you do that again? All right. It's not me. I didn't do it.
I think it's a perfect time to bring up, by the way, before we get going, to officially announce, you are hearing it first on We Hate Movies, gentle listener, that us four guys will be back at my other place of employment, the Jacob Burns Film Center, for the fifth annual Halloween movie marathon.
A night of family-friendly comedy.
That is right. That night is Friday, the 26th. Of October.
Isn't that No Fisting Friday?
It's a No Fisting Friday, unfortunately. But let me tell you, we will be talking about it to honor. It's not out yet, but I'll tell you, I've seen it. I had a lot of fun with it. I think it's a good movie to honor the new Halloween directed by David Gordon Green.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about one of the worst ones, Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a live commentary track. We're going to be goofing over the movie.
Yes. Goofing over this girl in a little clown getup. Mm-hmm.
But that's
terrible.
But that's not all. If you get tickets and come on out to Pleasantville, New York, you will get a night of movies. It's a marathon.
That's right. A whole bunch of horror movies, man. I think it's like 10 movies over two screens,
mm-hmm.
and then another theater is going to be full of shorts. I am playing
a lot
of movies.
Two screens this year?
Two screens, man.
Really?
That's expanding. Okay.
Expanding.
Right.
Two screams.
That's for two screens.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're going to have the way it's going to work is there's going to be like the opening film, then gotcha. We're going to go on, and then after that, branching out two selections for the rest of the night.
Gotcha.
The rest of those films will be announced soon, but tickets are already on sale. You want to snag that early bird pricing, man, go to burnsfilmcenter.org. Click on October 26th. You'll save $5 if you get your pass before the 17th of October to hear us riff on one of the absolute worst Halloween sequels and then also talk about a bunch of other fun stuff, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how much we can pay attention to the movie.
And this is 2018. Try. If you're listening in the future, right, this was for 2018.
BurnsFilmCenter.org for more details. So, yes, The Stepford Wives. You got something to start with here?
Yeah, Frank Oz's actual directorial. I want to know what everyone thinks is his best directing effort.
Okay. Yeah.
We can go around the horn with this guy.
Christ, it might be this.
Can we get the little Spanish flea thing going for this one, too?
He's still looking it up. Well, I know, because Cabin and I were talking about this earlier today, so we did the Death at the Funeral remake in 2007.
17 movies.
Okay. 17?
17. Dark Crystal, Muppets Take Manhattan.
Great movie.
I'm not going to count video shorts. Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, another short I'm not going to talk about. What About Bob?
Oh, fuck.
Wow. House Sitter, Indian in the Cupboard, In and Out.
I bet that movie is more out these days. I haven't rewatched it with a contemporary lens.
Bowfinger, The Score, Stay Tuned, Stepford Wives, Death at a Funeral, And then he's got a documentary. Yeah, and then it's an episode of Leverage.
Oh, the doc about the Muppet guys?
Yes, yeah.
I will select What About Bob?
Ooh. Fuck. It's so, like, those early movies, it's tough, yes. man. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is fucking
that's
great.
That's true. Little Shop is good, too.
I have to give it to Dirty Rotten Scoundrels just because that's the thing. I've seen that movie 200 times, probably.
it's a coin flip of Little Shop of Horrors v. The other one there.
The other one.
What about Bob?
Okay. I'll tell you, I think, honestly, just for, like, sentimentality's sake, I really love The Muppets Take Manhattan. Yeah. I think that might be it for me. That might be my favorite Frank Oz movie.
I couldn't get into The Dark Crystal. Too scary for me as a child.
Yeah, I didn't give a shit about that one.
I love Bowfinger, so that would probably be my second. Okay. But, like, I mean, what about Bob?
You might be alone there with that opinion, too.
Really?
Well, here's a lone opinion. You think anybody out there would say The Stepford Wives?
No. Who is this movie for? This movie was a summer release, June 11th. This movie cost $90 million to make.
I think this was a movie. Who is it for? I think it's for the whole family. I think everyone can have fun with this one.
How did it cost? I mean, that must have all been actor money because it's not showing up on the screen.
Because they cut out a lot of stuff, and they like apparently there was test audiences that hated this movie, rightfully so.
Yeah,
and they ended up cutting out like all their big CGI effects works.
Yes, that Bette Midler scene is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. You could find it on YouTube.
But what are you talking about?
The scene when Bette Midler is revealed to be a robot is a much longer scene.
Oh, really?
It's on YouTube. It's like there's a compilation of Stepford Wives 2004 deleted scenes, and this is like 5 minutes of like CGI work of her like going haywire, turning into a lawnmower, turning into like a squeegee.
Yes. Full on Inspector Gadget is what it goes. 110%.
It looks better than that Matthew Broderick Inspector Gadget.
Yes.
But it is full Inspector Gadget to the point of which her head flies off to simulate an orgasm because she's going haywire. She's doing all the Stepford Wives protocol. And then at the end of it, when her computerized brain thinks sex is over, she opens her chest cavity to reveal a refrigerator full of Bud Light.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yes, that's what your man wants intercourse.
How does Bud Light not take that and just use that as a commercial? alone.
That I mean, purchase this deleted scene from you.
That is a Super Bowl ad.
Dude,
that
is a Super Bowl ad. Is the end of the scene then like John Lovitz is like, oh, come on, baby. No, Bud Heavy.
Well, no, I feel like
he's not in it. Nicole Kidman.
Oh, she's not actually having sex.
No.
It's just
like, these are my features.
Yeah, all of her protocols or whatever.
Would you like a Bud Dry?
I feel like Lovitz, unfortunately, has to be the one stocking that thing. It's like, come here, all right? And he's just, he's got to go to the store.
Well, I think this may as well be the thing to start with. There's this gigantic plot hole that I mentioned at the start of the film. There's two things given in this movie as to what these things are.
Sure.
At one point in the movie, they're robots.
Like full-on robots.
Like, is it Faith Hill who has the fucking ATM shoot money out of her mouth?
Yes, which is disgusting to look at.
No, that's not her. What fucking Faith Hill has, she has her neck broken, essentially.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, she has like a malfunction and she's sparking and shit. But then also, we're told in this movie by like Christopher Walken or something, it's like, it's just some microchips. You plant some microchips in your brain. And I'm like, how the fuck did this movie get put into theaters with this egregious fucking error in it?
And it gets. We'll get to it towards the end, but like it gets so much more confusing as it goes along. Right. It doesn't. And like usually in a movie like this, it's like, ooh, what's the thing? But the movie doesn't know what the thing is. You know what I mean? So the Stepford Wives, obviously, it's a woman goes to a community with her husband, and she's like, what's going on? It's like a fucking Are You Afraid of the Dark situation.
It kind of is. Now, Eric, it's based on a book, but Eric, you rewatched the movie from the 70s, and it's like more of a horror film. I've never seen
it. Yeah, it's just, you know, that one, it's very long. It's a slow burn, but it's pretty good. It's like Get Out or something. It's very, you know, satirical about suburban conformity, and it's like you move to the suburbs, and suddenly your husband's hanging around with like the men's association. Yeah.
It's a pretty chilling movie.
Yeah.
Are there robots in that?
Yes, yeah, sort of. Yeah.
No microchips.
Towards the end of the movie, she actually stabs one of her friends that has totally, completely changed her personality. Uh-huh. You don't know that any of this robot stuff's going on, really,
right,
at all.
Right.
It's very, like, kept hidden towards the end. And, like, it goes through her, and it's like it's nothing. And then she goes home and sees that there's another version of her that's getting ready. And then, you know, this...
Well,
You could see it.
I think what they were doing... I mean, the problem, I think, is that they needed to have an ending where everybody was alive still. Because in the book, and I think in the movie, they just kill them and there's robots now.
Yeah, which makes more sense. That's satire. You know what I mean? Like, that's saying something.
Yeah, like, you're literally, like, wiping this woman off the face of the earth
and
replacing it with a robot. Not just a microchip that, like... Matthew Broderick dumb-acidly presses a bunch of buttons and deactivates them.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck. Like, this movie, like, what a disaster. What an embarrassment. How are you still in business? This is a disgrace. I can't even stand it. Pick one, a robot or a microchip. Did no one say anything to anyone?
So this movie opens with Nicole Kidman is a high-powered, she runs a TV network, what seems to be a successful one. It's at this impossible conference where
EBS, the new reality.
Yeah.
That's
is it
stupid.
A network that just does reality shows? Is that the idea?
Yeah, and
it's like
she's
ETV or whatever.
It's like kind of the upfronts, I guess you'd call it, like where you are saying what the new shows are.
Right.
And the first one she shows is it's called what is it?
Balance of Power.
There you go.
And it's about it's like a dating show with Meredith Vieira of all people.
Well, you can get a whiff of the 2004 with Meredith Vieira hosting a game show.
I'll tell you
show.
Who's coming next. We'll get a 2004 man.
No, I know, but you see her turn around in this chair, and I was like, who wants to give a shit?
Final answer.
Would you call? Would you have to phone a friend to give a shit?
Oh, Steve, please give a shit. I'm on this game show.
Ooh.
Who's hosting it? Meredith Vieira, sorry, bud.
Ask the audience. Oh, yep. Nope. Half of them give a shit. Does that narrow it down for you?
So, Steve, what is the gimmick behind Balance of Power?
Well, we only see the lightning round. It's a husband and a wife, and it's like you have to buzz when the statement is you. And it's
about
like,
you, right?
About you. It's like, who makes more money? And the woman's like, I do. Who has a bigger IQ? I do. Who has... who's better at sex? I am. And then, like, there's this thing. The last one is, who wants to be married to a hot lesbian? And they both say yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But, dude, you know what lesbians are, sir? Do you have any?
Yeah, but they're married to me, so I do.
Yeah, no, but
I don't care.
She would be a lesbian, you see. A
but
lesbian,
she would be like this my dude, property. Oh,
that's
I'm
what it is,
man.
Though. This dude thinks that him being married to a lesbian gives him a fucking skeleton key to three ways.
Yes. No, that's not how that works.
That is what it's played for. Yes.
No, sir. You need therapy.
Because remember, guys, if in 2004, like late 2004, because this was clearly on video, fucking 6 months later, if we went into a Blockbuster video, this would be listed under. The comedy section.
That's
where you would find the standard def DVD.
And why is it a horror movie? Or thinks it's a Tim Burton movie and it's not. Like the score is Danny Elfman blink blink bloop bloops.
Well, you will be shocked to find out. our buddy Mr. Burton was attached to direct this
that
at one
makes
point.
Perfect
not
sense.
Shocking in the least.
Yeah.
Then we have another program.
So the music and Christopher Walken were left over from Tim Burton.
Tim, you're going to leave the score here. I guess I'll stay.
Chris, you know what? I got kids. I got to go see them.
Tim, you left me holding the bag in this shitty robot movie.
Had to carry the whole film.
Chris, you know, I've been watching your other movies. I think this is about it. I think this is where you are now.
You know, I punched Frank Oz right in the dick.
Bring it on, old man.
You might be right. I'm just going to go do a... Fatboy Slim video. I think I'm going to do music videos now.
And only that.
The next one is a Survivor type show.
It's called I Can Do Better.
Uh-huh.
Hosted by Billy Bush.
Man, is that funny to look at.
That was.
But just looking at Billy Bush at all.
Yeah.
You know what he's kind of got going on in 2004? Little bit of a Billy Bush mullet.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The tiniest bit of a mullet on this guy.
We all had a Billy Bush mullets back then.
And so he's supposed to be like a Jeff Probst Survivor host. And this show is, they take a married couple,
mm-hmm.
bring them to an island populated solely with prostitutes.
Uh-huh.
Male and female.
Uh-huh.
And you get to like hang out with prostitutes for a week, and then you come back, and it's basically like, "Hey, did you fuck or what?"
It's like that Temptation Island show, which was a thing,
yes, right? Yeah, I think they had to cancel that due to all the venereal diseases caught in the hot tubs.
Sounds accurate.
The army of hot tubs they had on that show.
We're gonna do Temptation White House. Billy Bush is back. He's hosting.
Problem with Billy Bush is that he's still living. He exists. That's right. A problem to
he's
begin
like
with.
He's like if Ryan Seacrest fell in a vat of stupid acid.
I feel like he has to take pills for him to stop turning into a Max Headroom situation.
Yeah. That would actually be a good look for him.
He's a Stepford whatever. He's just a Stepford person.
Yeah. Do you think that's because of like all the souls his uncle like harvested throughout
the
world?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, totally. That's how he was born, dude. He's just a collection of stolen souls. So the contestant on this show, one is Mike White, and then the woman is just some actress. But Mike White is important because, well, it's Mike White, so you can spot this guy from a plane in the middle of the night.
And again, like, it's this sort of...
It's a joke about how he's pale. Yeah.
It's your class. We know what the theme of this movie is immediately because first you have the woman in the first bit makes more money. This time it's Mike White being next to this gorgeous woman being like, well, you know, I got really close to something, but I kind of just made a good friend and I would never cheat on my wife. And then they go to the woman, and she's like, well, and then all of these people come out.
She fucked, like, the cast of a porno movie is the gag, yeah. And then some other, like, Samoan stripper.
Yeah, it's some, like...
I don't know.
You know who this Samoan dude kind of reminded me of, though? The guy who played Maniac, or not Maniac Cop. What the fuck was he?
Kind of looks like Robert Zadar a little bit.
No, but another movie Zadar was in that we did.
Samurai Cop. Samurai.
He looks like Samurai Cop, this guy, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. I thought, like, because when he's revealed, he's like in silhouette, and I was like, "Oh fuck, Samurai Cop!"
Nope.
Disappointed.
Literally, just some dude. And she's like, "Yeah, so I'm just going off to like fuck this baseball team's worth of people I have here.
We're gonna just, you know, we're gonna be a poly family, man. We're gonna build a house in the middle of the desert and just make it happen.
And then what? Like, kill Sharon Tate." That's the next step in that. Dude.
Yeah,
that's, well, I mean, that's how all of those things fucking end, dude. I don't care how utopian you think yours is, or how great your fucking community farm is. You're all killing each other by the end of it.
It always starts with tilling the fields and then slaughter.
Killing the fields.
So we cut back to Nicole Kidman, and she's like, "That's why this is going to be the best season ever." Then Mike White shows up. And he's got a gun, and he's like, "I have a new show for you. It's called Kill All the Women.
Let's kill all the women." Yeah. And it's like, by the way, it's Mike White trying to be like tough and crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, stick to writing.
It's so crazy how like this was like Mike White in this scene was like an outlier.
There it
is. In society in 2004, like, oh, what a crazy notion. And now it's half of men. Go on Twitter, go on anywhere. Everyone's saying this, saying that.
This is a black eye for EBS, though, because the fucking, the security guards have him.
Yes.
And they don't check him for a gun. They're just like, yeah, let him go.
Well, it's also on Nicole Kidman because she's like, oh, no, let him in. It's fucking Gary from whatever the fuck.
But
she's trying to like spin it and like make a moment out of it.
Yeah, they're doing the thing. The security guard's got like one loose hand on his shoulder. Yeah. Like, that's not how that works.
Yeah, if this dude is barging into, I think this is supposed to be like Radio City or something. Like,
excuse me, Miss Kidman, this maniac wanted to speak to you in the middle of your speech.
Oh, right this way.
So he fires at her and like he doesn't shoot her. Luckily, he doesn't get her. He tries to kill her, but he doesn't get her. And then we cut to her being fired by her boss because apparently, and this is the other thing about this movie is like, this should be a dark comedy. And they're like, well, actually, what Mike White did was the other night, he actually shot all of the people in that porno movie and his wife. They're all in critical condition. But like, no, just go there. Like, do it.
Because what What does it
matter? We don't
matter?
See those people. They're cartoons.
There's no
I don't care.
Fucking, you know, crime scene photography.
Yeah, that's not this movie. Have you been listening to the stupid fucking score? Six are nearly dead tonight because a man shot his wife and then shot all of her lovers.
The door is locked. How do I get out to this movie?
Well, oh wait, no, that's Tim's music. I heard the little part. That's got to be where Tim is.
Do you think that's how you like trick him into coming on set? You just play it from a boombox, and it's like Christopher Walken like jumps out from behind a bush, like Tim Burton. Look, is that you?
Look, Frank. This is all you have to do. Just turn on the radio like this. Turn it off when he's done. It's real simple. Real simple.
You want a cape? I should wear a cape, right?
Oh, yes, I'll do whatever you want, Frank Oz.
So she's fired. She has a nervous breakdown. Yes. So then we cut to they're moving to Stepford, Connecticut.
Well, Matthew Broderick's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Those people did the worst thing to you. You know what, sweetheart? I quit the network, too, even though I'm a VP. VP of what, question mark?
Yeah, don't even bother to get into it.
We're going to move to a Connecticut. And then, look, there's so many, like, short little scenes just to sort of make this movie a movie.
To really, I mean, this is, like, 94 minutes long or something like that. Really trying to get any scrap we can and just tape it to the side of this movie.
Well, the beginning of the movie, it's got a very generous credit sequence.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing, dude. Like, it's like all this, like, old footage of, like, 1950s, like, Housewives of the Future kind of thing. Some of the worst fucking font you'll ever see, by the way. Just garbage font up front.
We're trashing fonts now.
I'm trashing everything about this piece of shit fucking movie, dude. I'm sweating over here. I hate it so much.
You leave Bodini alone, you son of a bitch.
But it's like you're getting down.
You keep your hands off my Bodini!
Oh, it's my, like, God, Steve's got a gun.
It's like, oh, we're crediting graphic designers, production designers, costumes, like all up front. You're like, man.
You know what? Why don't we put this very special thanks up here, too? Yeah. And the company logos, Kodak. Let's put that up.
It felt like it was good. It was like trying to be a classic movie. Like, this is going to be a classic film, guys.
It reminded me a lot of the opening credits to First Wives Club. It's kind of similar. Yeah. And it's written by the same guy, I think.
Oh, Paul Rudin?
Yeah.
Funny enough.
Or Paul Rudnick.
Wait, the credits are written by the same guy?
Yeah.
When this movie ended, Amazon was like, up next, The First Wives Club. Mm-hmm. So how about that? But no, I think Scott Rudin is a producer on this film.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the other thing, too, is that this movie about, you know, men who make their wives into, I mean, it's about a lot of things, but it should be about men
it's about a lot of things.
Men who make their wives into submissive, whatever, so it should be like, you couldn't find one woman to either co-write the movie, produce the movie, direct the movie.
No.
Don't worry, ladies. We got it.
Exactly. No. Your experience will be on the screen. I promise you. just stand over there.
So another, like, totally offensive thing to me watching this movie is it's also peppered with a bunch of, like, New Yorkers jokes.
Oh, yeah, man.
Because it's a lot of, like, because they're moving from Manhattan to Connecticut. So right up front, it's like,
meanwhile, you're in like Fairfield, Connecticut, where everyone commutes to Manhattan to begin with.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's a lot of like, well, what are we doing, honey? We're moving to Connecticut. That's the best way to wipe the city stink off of you.
Is this the lawns I've been hearing about?
Yeah.
I've been hearing about these all around.
You can't wear black anymore because we live outside the city.
Yeah, like floral patterns. And can this movie make a decision about race at all? Like it's about like the whole idea, I think, is about, you know, you move to the suburbs. It's this reactionary 60s kind of thing. Like you try and
get called white flight.
Exactly. But there is an Asian guy and there is a black person. They don't have lines, but like you're better off leaving those people out actually to make it pure white. So it, like you're actually making a point as opposed to like,
oh, so you want pure white
in this, if you're trying to make this,
you know,
point.
What's funny is in the 1975 version, this is kind of a amusing sort of part about race in that movie. Is an older woman is talking to the star of the movie, the Catherine Rosser, and saying like, oh, you know, there's a black couple is moving into town. Yeah. And, you know, I knew this was coming because Stepford is the most liberal town in Connecticut or whatever. And she's like, what are you talking about? How is it liberal here? and then the old lady says, we had the first Chinese restaurant.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Like, that is the metric of being liberal, is tolerating Asian food existing.
Letting them cook for you.
But yeah, to Steve's point, like, either do it or don't.
Exactly.
Because you can't say you're doing it and then you're showing something else.
Exactly. It's a bad extras problem. Or like, yeah, exactly. Or have a black couple in there and like make that part of the movie.
Well, no, because they couldn't, or at least they thought they couldn't, because the group that gets that in this movie is gay couples.
Which makes no sense.
Right. It makes no sense, but that's the one that they're doing. Yes. So it's not like, oh, Stepford's inclusive. We also have black couples,
yes,
and Asian couples and, you know, yeah, Latin couples or whatever. No. It's not that. It's, don't worry, Stepford has two gay people.
And they're white. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We move to their house, which is like your house of the future kind of thing.
It's a smart house. It reminded me of, has anyone seen
Scorpio?
Well, yes, the Simpsons episode. But also, there's a hilariously awkward and pretty much bad remake of Rear Window from like sometime in the 90s with our good friend Superman.
Christopher Reeves.
Oh, right.
I remember seeing like the promos and stuff.
It was like post-accident.
Yes.
And he plays a dude in a wheelchair who has like a smart house kind, yeah, of with it. It's really weird.
Is it a good movie?
No.
Yeah.
I think it was like made for TV and aired on like ABC or something. It was
like the time when they were making the Shining remake.
Oh,
on TV,
yeah. The Steven Weber. People will tell you, you know what's a better movie than that Kubrick movie? The one that aired on television,
yeah,
with Steven,
okay,
Weber.
It's,
yeah,
not better, uh-huh, obviously, but I think it's a watchable movie.
Sure.
I mean, in retrospect, it's probably bad, but
yes,
like I remember being like, oh, okay.
I know it's more faithful to the book, but sometimes you want,
you know,
someone
who's
to
better
get
than Jack Nicholson.
that dude that from guy, Wings.
Exactly.
You know who's better than Stanley Kubrick? A random Canadian.
Yep. Definitely.
Did you know, Eric, that actually the 75 version had like four sequels for made for TV movies?
No, I did not
there
know
are,
that.
There's like three or four of them now.
Wow.
Like the Stepford Children at some point.
Oh, yeah. No, are you kidding me, Chris Cannon?
I'm not kidding.
I can't wait not to watch that.
So this house of the future actually kind of comes to nothing, but like it's like, oh look, you know, it's a self-cleaning house, or it's not a self-cleaning house, but like, you know, the security system's so great, but everyone's just walking inside each other's houses anyway.
There's no security at all, although they do, this movie anticipated the smart fridge.
Yes, it does have a smart fridge. There's a fucking dog that needs to be shot in the head.
I don't know what this thing is.
It's not an actual dog. It's like a CGI robot or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we find out it was a real dog though.
Oh, I stopped paying attention.
Oh, okay.
There's at one point you see like a painting and it's the dog and she's like looking at the painting, looking at the robot, looking, yeah, at the painting, looking at the robot. But like, if you can make realistic robot people,
yeah,
why is this dog just a CGI cartoon that's farting around? Make a choice about fucking anything, Frank Oz and Paramount Pictures.
Okay, on top of the fucking shooting shit.
Yeah.
Can I talk? The electroshock as a joke.
Oh, right. Yeah, she's on.
She's talking.
Yeah.
And she's walking around.
Yeah.
And she just got done with electroshock.
Yeah. And it's just, and like, it's like a gag. Like, it's like later in the movie, they talk about the people who are against the Stepfords. Are like, oh yeah, what are you on? Prozac, Valium, blah blah blah, you know.
Oh yeah, we're talking about pill cocktails and shit.
But
that's like leftover late 90s humor, by the way. Sorry to tell you.
We meet Glenn Close, who's like, hey,
I'm sorry to hear it.
She's like, yeah, welcome to Stepford, blah blah blah. This is your house. Your toilet will fucking drug test you or whatever.
Yes, like they're like your toilets are examining all your excrement. And what I think is actually the best part of this smart house is there's a button downstairs, right in the front door, you can flush all toilets immediately.
I'd be doing that
all day.
Listen, I'm wary of a simultaneous flush like that, man. I think the roof will blow off the house. Can't flush all the toilets at the same
time. Imagine this. You live in a cavernous house like that. This house looks like Daniel Plainview's shooting at people in the corridors of it. And you're having people come over. You have so many bathrooms. You don't know. Yeah. You know, I'd be shitting in a new one every day.
You're so rich at this point, you're not flushing the toilet anymore. Okay, yeah, gotcha. No,
I'm just going to take a shit, not flush it, board up that bathroom entirely, and forget it was there.
Because we're complete crazy town now. Because if you're that rich, that's what you do. You know, you don't go outside.
So we're told by Glenn Close that we have the Stepford Men's Association and the Stepford Women's Group thing, which we walk in, they're doing like bad exercises, like in dresses and shit. And Nicole Kidman's like, what are you doing? Do you always exercise like this? And she's like, oh, well, of course, because if our husbands walked in and saw us in drab sweatsuits looking all disgusting.
Yeah, it's every man's fantasy for everyone to dress like they're going to the world's worst fucking Kentucky Derby party. That's what every man in 2004 was like, oh, my God, I want a woman with a huge fucking hat. Oh, Marron, you see that one? Hey, sweetheart, I love your hat. And, like, of course, yes, we said this, Nicole Kidman dresses like I think this movie's, by the way, trying to tell you that Nicole Kidman's not attractive.
Yeah, that's sort of their...
They're kind of doing she's saying, all like, that. Kind of
you could be pretty if you wanted to.
Yeah, she's Nicole Kidman. No.
She looks exactly like she does in the film Birth, which I think was also 2004, wasn't
probably
it?
Probably sounds about right.
So maybe it just all carried over. She's like, no, I'm not going to cut my hair.
I actually think Nicole Kidman's great. I don't think she belongs anywhere near a comedy ever.
No, see Bewitched.
Oh, Bewitched. I think To Die For is pretty good, but that's like dark enough where like it's almost practically a drama.
Yeah, that it's not an outright quote unquote comedy.
No.
But it was actually funny because my wife was like, "Which is worse, this or Bewitched?"
I never saw it.
Bewitched is terrible, and I think actually Bewitched is the worst movie because. It's worse because it's like it's very self-reflexive. Like it is being a thing about the Bewitched TV show.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Just make a Bewitched movie, and it would have been totally fine. But it's like she's a witch off camera too.
This movie is failing completely, but it's trying to do something. Bewitched was just a waste of everybody's time.
That's right. Steve, are you looking up Nicole Kidman comedies?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything that's worth a damn. But like, she's not funny. Like, she her being funny in this movie is like being stupid. Like the character, even though she's very smart, she's like talking kind of weird. It's not Nicole Kidman.
That's my version of comedy.
You know what? She's kind of funny in the first Paddington. But that's
she's the villain in
she's
that.
The villain the first Paddington. She's not bad in that.
It's funny when she pees on Zac Efron and the Paperboy. That's pretty funny.
Oh, well, that's just the cinema. That's just amazing.
She is hilarious, actually. Sorry, in The Others.
Yes.
When she finds that ghost kid on the floor, she is fucking hilarious.
There's a great comedy called Rabbit Hole that she's in.
Oh my god. And that's what I mean. Like her whole thing is like the worst shit that could ever happen to a person. Hi, get Nicole Kidman in there.
Oh, like Australia.
Like yes.
The movie, not the continent, country.
And... Oh, she's a laugh a minute in Dogville.
Yeah, yes. She's a modern day Jerry Lewis in Dogville.
So then we're introduced to some...
You know, she's actually kind of funny. I'm sorry.
Here we go. What is she in a Holocaust movie?
No, she's kind of funny.
Dead calm.
In The Hours because that nose is ridiculous.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that nose is telling all the
she's
jokes.
She's playing Jimmy Durante, right?
Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Give me some rocks in my pocket. Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Man, yeah, that guy. Wow. No one has said his name in a long time. I'm actually worried.
I think it's the first time anyone said Jimmy Durante on a podcast.
Yeah, because that's like your grandfather's comedy. Now, I'm wondering, like, if we said his name, is he going to, like, haunt us or appear? You know, because he's
just like a Bloody Mary thing you're thinking? Yeah,
yes, okay. Because no one said the words Jimmy Durante in a long time. Shit, we said it three times.
Well, what we'll do later tonight during our sleepover is we'll all drink Kahlua and we'll go into the bathroom and we'll just look in the mirror and say Jimmy Durante. No,
that's the thing though.
I swear my nose got bigger when I flicked the lights.
You know, you don't say Jimmy Durante, dude. You gotta say ha cha cha three times.
Right.
So yes, we meet some other people that Nicole Kidman can make friends with in this movie.
Yes.
So one is Bette Midler. who's another New Yorker expat. These are all New Yorker expats. So it's Bette Midler, who's an author. Mm-hmm. She's married to John Lovitz.
Sure.
And then you have Roger Bart, who was like an ad sales guy, something, something.
Yeah. He's an architect, and the, oh, the his husband's the corporate lawyer.
Oh, okay. I thought
it was 2004 partner. FYI.
Yes.
No, but he's saying husband all over this movie. Okay, right, yeah, he is. But yeah, so it's like, yeah, Bette Midler's like this sort of like cynical writer kind of a deal, like almost like a Fran Lebowitz kind of character.
Roger Bart is famous to me anyway for saying the N-word in the middle of American Gangster, like having no scenes in that movie, coming in, saying the N-word, and then closing a door and leaving. It's insane.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's just like he's not in the movie. Like he's like yelling at who, I think it's Russell Crowe. He's like, "You think this?" And he says the word, and then that's the end of the character. And you're like, "Wait, what?"
This is amazing.
You had to farm out for that word?
Well, because I wanted to pull up to see, like, because I remember him. He's in, like, The Producers.
Is he in The Insider?
I'll look in a second, but it's weird because when you go to his IMDb page, immediately on the known for, it's The Producers, an American Gangster.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Where he's just credited as U.S. Attorney.
Exactly.
It should be racist U.S. attorney.
It should definitely be racist U.S. attorney.
He does like Broadway, I think, right?
He's a huge theater actor. Yeah, he does a lot of TV. When was The Insider?
99.
Game? 99. Let me see just real quick here. Yes. Seelbach Hotel Manager.
Because he's also yelling at Russell Crowe in that movie.
Oh, wow.
Because when Al Pacino is on the beach yelling at him, like, get him on the fucking phone.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's like, get on the fucking phone.
He's like the Crowe yeller. That's like a very important thing.
Dude, the same year he was U.S. attorney, he was also like one of the scumbags in Hostel 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think
that
he's the main scumbag in that.
He's the guy,
The idea that there would be, like this, again, we're talking about like reactionary 60s nonsense.
Right.
And like, because we keep cutting to this men's club where it's all about your dudes being
we're all smoking cigars, we're drinking neat whiskey.
And like the idea is these are old white guys that want to turn their wives into fuck bots. Like, that's, they're bad dudes. They're not like, and you know who we love? Gay people. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't make
exactly.
And it make a point of them excluding this guy or something, if that's what you're trying to do. But then they're like, oh, it's fine.
Well, their meeting should be like chilling, really, really horrible stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Like, they should be
they're playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Battle bots, excuse me.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's fucking ridiculous. Like, they should be putting like cigars out on each other.
Yeah, or
they
like don't feel watching anything. Hardcore pornography.
Really fucked up shit, dude. Like stuff Machine wouldn't even watch.
Machine leaves the room.
Oh God.
Yeah, they're showing movies of Nicolas Cage every night.
Machine is gonna like move out of Stepford. It's a little much for Machine.
I really, you know what? I came here. I had a good attitude about all of this, and then you just showed me who you are, and it's disgusting.
Hey, moving guy, careful with that crate. It's got all my zipper masks in it.
Oh, you know, someone like him would probably not be down with this situation because you create your victim into a state of bliss that they enjoy, you know. These robots enjoy serving you.
Yeah, Machine.
You don't get like the tortured screams of the young and damned before you. You know what I mean?
Look, guys, all I'm saying is I'm missing 3 knife dildos, okay? That's all I'm saying here.
I came here with them.
They didn't just vanish. They're not up my butt. Are they up your butt?
Also annoying is Roger Bart's character is named Roger.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Come on. Like, just please come on.
And they're like, they become fast friends. They're very New York this and that. Where are we going to get a bagel, blah, blah, blah.
It's the fucking worst, though, dude. It's the fucking absolute worst joke. There's a fucking 3-way, like, punch, punch, punch joke that the three of them do.
Oh, right.
Where it's like, how does a New Yorker answer a phone or something like that? Or it's like, oh no, what does a New Yorker do when their friend is sick? And it's like, we call them on the phone to see if they're dead. And who's going to get the apartment? Bah, bah, bah.
You might be a New Yorker if you call to see if you can get the apartment after they die.
That's not, I say the worst joke in the whole fucking thing is when one of the wives goes up to sexual powerhouse Matthew Broderick.
Oh, yeah.
Looks at his shorts and says, are those Banana Republic?
Oh yeah, no, oh no, that, I know why they call it Banana Republic.
Right.
Yeah,
they can see the outline of his dick.
It's Matthew Broderick's clearly a huge dick, dude. That guy is hot like a fucker.
Stop talking about my horse cock in front of my wife.
Comes with a lead pipe every time.
If you are constantly dependent on a public transportation system that has been broken since the late 90s, you might be a New Yorker.
And you might just vote against your own interests.
Oh, isn't that the truth? So they go square dancing. There's a big like community picnic kind of a deal.
Yes, and this is when Faith Hill has a malfunction.
Right. And right here, I mean, this is like, speaking of Tim Burton, this is an effect straight from Mars Attacks.
Yes.
And she's like spinning around and saying the same thing over and over
again. Do-si-do. Like, do-si-do, 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 do-si-do. Yeah,
and like all the dudes like close in on her and Christopher Walken comes in and like this is the big reveal of his character, Mike. It's like, somebody get Mike! Which is a fucking hilarious name to just yell, by the way. Get Mike! Where's Mike?
Here's the thing. You almost never need a mic. I have never heard somebody say, get me Mike. I've never heard it in my life.
Mike the cleaner, man. Fucking break it bad.
All right.
Yeah, but you would just call him and say, come here. Yeah. You don't just yell,
true.
Mike!
You don't use my name on the phone, Walter.
Apparently this is a, it's Mike from Microsoft.
That's, I don't even know what that line. Yes, no, I'm sorry.
In the 1975 film, there is a guy that says, just call me Diz. I used to work at Disney.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So but I think that's where they derived this from, but I'm unsure what it even supposed
well,
to
be. Well, because
he's the microchip guy that
right.
puts it in their brains.
I guess so.
So but shouldn't he work at Intel?
But by the way, spoiler alert for the end of this movie, man, this twist ending, it's all Glenn Close. Christopher Walken's a robot.
That's the problem. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about it now. We'll talk about it now. It makes no fucking sense that you have a woman behind the whole thing. It's like at the end of Get Out, Lakeith Stanfield does a slow clap, and he's like, I did it the whole time. Yes. I always wanted old white people to take my body. Like, what are you fucking talking about? It has to be dudes.
For that to be the final level. It's just doesn't make any sense.
It has to be dudes.
It does.
It has to be dudes.
Even if it's Mike.
Mike!
So he like does this weird like thing where he breaks her neck kind of and
like a reset or like power off or something.
And then
stomp her for a while.
Everyone's freaked out.
Insane. I'm sorry, but it's insane that Matthew Broderick isn't also like, well, clearly that's a robot.
Yeah. But you don't know what his deal is. You don't know if he got a pamphlet in the mail. Like, yo, dude, you want to make your wife a robot or what?
Oh, do you think he's in on it before they make him in on it?
The movie doesn't tell you. The movie doesn't know. The movie has no idea what this movie is.
And that would be a really interesting, like, even just to, like, tease it by, like, having him pass it one day while going to, you know, work or whatever. And just, like, having a guy like, hey, let me show you around the house. This is, you know, open house. Let me show you.
Yes,
this is
exactly.
Nice, beautiful, smart home. And get that out of the way so fucking Glenn Close doesn't have to do it.
Right. Also, there should definitely be, this movie is in desperate need of some
comedy
sort of,
or,
well, yes, comedy competence, rich storytelling, proper editing. No,
it's got plenty of plinky notes.
Yeah.
No, I'm not complaining about the plink factor. The plink factor is fine. I'm talking about you need some sort of private detective character.
Oh, yeah.
Who's on the hunt for like some family that like went missing.
Right.
Something,
it's like,
something.
It's like a private investigator that almost goes to conspiracy. It's like Stranger Things season 2 with Brett Gelman or whatever.
Yeah,
like
totally.
No one really believes him, but he's like on to something.
Maybe get Martin Balsam back if he's
still
alive.
I was just
going
to say from Psycho, yes.
Abergast, dude. He's probably long dead.
Maybe.
But yeah, so...
Yeah,
but so they all kind of gather up. They're like, we have to see what's going on in Faith Hill's house. They get to Faith Hill's. It's the three of them: Bart Midler and Nicole Kidman. They go to Faith
for
Hill's
second,
house.
Sorry, for a second, I thought you called her Bart Midler.
Oh, man.
And I was just picturing Bette Midler with spiky hair, but you meant Roger Bart Midler. And Bette Midler.
Don't have a cow, man.
You're the wind beneath my wings, man. Cowabunga.
And they go there, and she's having like a crazy, like they're hearing crazy sex noises from the attic, and they're like, oh my God, wow, her sex life must be great.
And because Roger Bart has to be this character, he's like, I want to see what's upstairs. Ugh. I want some, too. I'm like, what are you talking about? Are you just going to make a threesome happen?
I want to see heterosexual sex.
Exactly. They leave. We do see her.
She comes down the stairs, yes. And they find the remote control for her, which, yeah. Why wasn't that in the bedroom? I don't know, unless it slipped and fell down the stairs. But there's a remote control button to increase her bust size.
Yes.
And then, they make her go, backwards up the stairs.
Right. Yeah.
This is after, by the way, the Al Bundy joke of, hey, babe, can you give me some nachos?
Yeah, exactly.
Post-coital nachos. Dude, eat 'em.
I had the same thought, man. It's like, oh, I just got done fucking. How about some nachos? Are you kidding me?
Also, how hot are these nachos? Am I getting dressed to eat them? But I better, because hot cheese on my pubes. No, thank you.
Yeah, no way, dude. No way eating nachos in the
that's
nude.
That's a powerful image.
Well, I'm just letting you know.
By the way, double jalapeno, double chorizo, honey, if you could do that.
When Steve's new album finally comes out, I think it should be called Nachos in the Nude.
Yeah, you know, you could, because they're like sex robots now. Like, you could eat those nachos off of the body, right? Because it won't hurt her because she has no feelings anymore.
That's a good
point. You just
point.
Dump all the hot cheese and chorizo on top
that
of her.
That we're thinking.
Those fancy movies where they have they're eating sushi off a lady.
Oh yeah, now you're
talking
doing
about Rising Sun.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah, you know, fancy movies Rising Sun.
No, but other things
this,
that happen.
That,
for a minute there,
scenes of decadence.
All right, okay, all right. Are you actually saying that it's not fancy to eat sushi off of a nude body? You think it's
Eric,
you think it's fancier to eat nachos
Eric,
off a nude
I'm
body?
I'm just saying. For a minute there, I thought you were talking about a Dusan Makiev movie or something.
Oh, man, dude. Dusan Makiev, yeah, these robots are, eating their own shit and stuff.
Yeah,
that would
doing,
be pretty cool.
We have prayer circles whatever.
By the way, just to Steve, because Steve made the point, or maybe it was Eric, the thing about the boobs, the fucking big boobs thing, that's a fucking point right there for robots. Let's just get that out of the way. That's a robot thing.
But the other question, one of the enormous questions the movie doesn't answer is, they're always robots of the women that they of the women they marry,
right.
Almost exactly. Maybe the boobs are better. Maybe they're in a little bit better shape. But they are these gorgeous already women, and they keep showing these schlubby guys. And even Bette Midler says at one point, she's like, why are all these gorgeous tens married to these nerds? You know what I mean?
And how did they get these women in the first place?
How does fucking Matthew Broderick marry Nicole Kidman? I mean, how does he marry Sarah Jessica Parker? But that's another question altogether. But you know what I mean? How does that happen? How does, John Lovitz and Bette Midler, even he's punching above his weight. Let's all.
Absolutely.
Are all these guys really that scared of a divorce? that's the weird thing. Why wouldn't you point, the funny thing about it is that, they were they're too nervous to get a divorce, but they're not too nervous to kill their wife. There's something funny about that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, what Steve said, that they're punching above their weight class there. If they get a divorce, they're obviously not, they're not going to get as good as what they have with their wives.
But we're also told that these women in their former lives were all hyper successful themselves. So it's not like they had to marry these dudes for the money.
Exactly.
They're fucking federal judges and running TV networks or whatever else. So none of this makes any sense.
And also, the idea, at some point, Matthew Broderick has this, come to Jesus scene with Nicole Kidman. He's like, I was always holding your purse. You know what? And I, you can't give this Stepford thing one shot. I can't believe it, baby. And it's like, dude, you knew who this person was when you married her. Weren't you interested in her, career drive? You know what I mean? Any of that has to make sense. If you married somebody that's driven, you know what the deal is. You're probably attracted to that more than likely.
On top of that, they expect me to believe that, because what happens is they have a fucking blowout fight.
Yes.
And he, she kind of starts apologizing to him.
Yeah.
And rather than just saying, hey, let's get a divorce.
Yeah.
They say, hey, could you not wear the black?
Could you not wear the black anymore, honey? Could you do everything I say?
But Kevin, in that argument, what starts that argument is he walks to the front door and he's like, I'm just tired of all of this. You know what? Game over. Marriage over. And he starts walking to the door, and then that's when she's like, Mike! No, that's when she's no, wait a minute. Oh, and they have this heart-to-heart on the stairs where they talk about they haven't fucked in 3 years or something like that.
And also, could you slouch a little bit when you talk to me? It's like talking to a gosh darn giraffe.
It's like talking to Godzilla.
And admittedly, at first I found that hot, but now at this point
Oh, you think it is like a giant woman situation?
Oh, it's a little bit. There's a great, I was just looking back through some notes
I've
here.
I've got
a
little bit. Matthew Broderick.
No, dude, that guy's got a horse cock.
Oh, right, the Banana Republic. My apologies.
I was just looking back through my notes. When they walk in on the fucking, I had one legitimate laugh in this entire movie, and it's when they start hearing it, and Roger Bart has a line where he just goes, is that a DVD? Which yeah. I thought was pretty funny.
So like now she's trying to fit in with the Stepford Wives. They go to some book club.
Oh, the Christmas singing? Yeah. What the fuck? This movie came out in June. There's a daggum Christmas scene
and
here.
And there's this whole thing where like Glenn Close is like, ew, Jewish people. By the way, hi, gay guy. And I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about? Like, you can't have it both ways. I'm sorry. But yeah, like the idea is like Christmas is coming. You got to love Christmas, blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah.
Well, Nicole Kidman's like, I just read whatever book and it was great.
Yeah.
Johnson memoirs, yeah. By the way.
Part First three of Lyndon
no,
Johnson
memoirs. No, you didn't.
Memoirs.
And second of all, they're not good. What are you talking about? But I think this is also getting at like, oh, suburban white women just fucking love Christmas. And now that we're like running the show, we get to talk about fucking Christmas all the time.
Of course they do, man. Have you ever been inside a Christmas tree shop? You ever go to one of those stores? Christmas, 24/7.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, you don't get those in metropolitan areas, man. That's a thing built for the suburbs.
No, they're all over the city in Midtown.
Yeah, you'll find one or two.
They're like
Midtown doesn't count.
Whenever the Spirit Halloween stores go out of business is when they go up.
No, but that's seasonal shit, dude. I'm talking about year-round. There are stores where you could just go in the 4th of July and buy fucking Christmas.
Well, those are like usually like small-towny kind of main street. There's always a Christmas tree store or a Christmas candle store.
I think there's like four of them in our hometown.
Well, but those stores always are packing like... You know, discount Werther's and like
discount Werther's.
They gotta get
dude, Gavin knows where to go to get discount hard candy, man. Don't worry about it.
They're like for the people who are still scared to just like bring in whatever food you're bringing into the movie theater. Like they buy it first there.
Now I want some Werther's Originals.
I thought you might.
I will go through a bag of Werther's Originals. Oh, don't even worry
I
about
think
it.
I've had like two in my life.
Yeah. Really? Oh, dude, if left to my own devices with caramel candies,
I gotta say, my grandparents died when I was very young, so I didn't get the Werther's Original.
No, I'm with Jupe, and I'm like 92 years old. I love those things.
Oh, yeah, dude. Or some cinnamon discs. Oh, ew. Oh, yeah.
Man, you guys, in a few years, you guys will be opening a fucking Christmas shop.
No, I think Kevin and I should open a candy
store.
Dude,
that sounds delightful.
But no, it's like, we're going to talk about this Christmas book or whatever, and I was like, okay, that's dumb. Mm-hmm. But then this scene will be over with. Oh, not so fast, said the television, because then it's like them, they're all lined up in a row, and they're singing Jingle Bells or something?
Yeah, well, apparently this movie, like, was super contentious. Everybody was fighting the entire time.
Nobody hated Frank Oz.
Nobody believed in this movie. How could you? And then he's like, all right. In the next scene, we're all going to do Christmas. And somebody's like, when the fuck do we get to the robots? Or Nicole Kidman does an Australian accent or something.
Robots.
Or the brain microchip.
When do I piss on someone or what?
No, it's not great. You know what? It's not great. It's all right, Steve. The important part is you tried.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that pissing movie, The Paperboy.
It's pretty interesting.
It goes places. It's good? It's not great.
No?
No.
No, but there's pee.
There's pee.
So you guys flushed it? You also know it's 2004, by the way, because immediately after this, they have a scene where it's Nicole Kidman, Bette Midler, and Roger Bart, and they're sitting around talking about, like, making an effort to fit in or whatever, and Roger Bart's like, oh, like, we're bonding right here. Well, let me tell you that me and my husband are having problems, yes. Blah, blah, blah. And somewhere around here, we insert a Viagra joke.
Oh, for sure.
Xanax with a Viagra chaser or some shit like that.
Oh, right, because that's a joke. Because he goes, because then you're up and you're up.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bop.
Flush. Well, he's the first one to get Stepforded.
yes, it's a great term.
He goes to the men's club, and like we kind of sort of see it happen. There's a bunch of Scooby-Doo shit in the middle of this movie where Nicole Kidman and Bette Midler, both in their 40s, one well into her late 50s,
yeah,
tippy-toeing around a goddamn haunted mansion.
Because don't they also, like, climb up the side of it? Because they're, like, in the upstairs. They sneak through a window, and it's like, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, flashlights are around. And yeah. It's literally, and to Steve's point, to illustrate it even further, it's a long hallway with, like, 9 doors on each side, and they're just going back and forth.
And they go in one, and then Frankenstein comes out of it, and they run. And then
fucking mummies chasing them.
And Roger Bart gets Stepford edited. And which doesn't make, I mean, again, like, is this movie about, like, you know, like, you're trying to make this, like, Donna Reed stereotype, right? Like, that's the idea.
Right.
But then how does it work with gay couples? Because he just turns into, like, a more of a straight guy. Like,
I think that's why they make him so cartoonishly effete at the beginning of this movie, because yeah. Then when he's Stepford-ed-ed-ed-ed,
yeah.
He's like, now I'm just a conservative homosexual and I'm running for office.
Running for what?
Go. It's weird because they say that he's running, like, for a senatorial seat.
Is it state senate?
Yeah. Okay. But he's still just like, Stepford is the future or whatever. And I was like, you're running for larger office than, like, town council. Yeah, gives a fuck about Stepford.
And you're running for office and you've lived there for, what, 2 weeks maybe? Yeah. Like,
yes.
I was going to say that they give him this whole scenario of him being more straight is like,
right.
It's just gay conversion therapy or whatever. This is like a Mike Pence special.
It's a Mike Pence wet dream.
You go into the barbershop. Oh, yeah, give me the Mike Pence. They give you conversion therapy.
It's a heavy spice.
It's a heavy spice.
Which they don't cut back to at all, by the way. There's nothing more about him running for any kind of office or anything.
Because the movie's about women. Because
he lost the election.
It just doesn't fit at all. It's a different movie. Like, if it was about gay couples and them being, like, converted, you know, that's a different movie. That's
if you want to make, like, you know, Get Out but gay,
yes,
then do that.
Exactly.
Right? Gay Out. Movie.
Can you just call it Get Out but gay? I like that title.
But, like, it's got no business in here. And it's just such a fucking obvious and shallow move to be like, look, it's fucking Stepford Wives for the 21st century. There's a gay guy. Yeah,
you got to make that the entire movie and the entire
point. That's the movie. Yes, that is the movie.
He's in the Nicole Kidman role.
Yes.
And it's all about, it's just commentary on gay conversion and how fucking weird that ideology is to put people through that.
Exactly, and the shittiness of it. Like, that's the move.
That's a better movie, honestly.
Much better movie.
It's saying something. The original did say something. This is not.
Look, and here's the thing. We're not the right people to make this movie. I would never say that. But I'll sell you the movie, but it's called Get Out But Gay.
I think there's also better people that could make that movie.
No, that's what I mean. We're not the right people to make it. I'll sell you the idea. I'll sell them the idea. I need a little something.
Okay.
We came up with the title here.
Finder's fee.
Yeah, it's a finder's fee.
I made most of my annual income this year getting a finder's fee for Get Out But Gay. Roger Bart's a robot. And is it through Roger Bart? No, it's when they tell... So they tell... Matthew Broderick eventually, like, what the score is. And the way
this is the weirdest thing in the world.
It's so weird. So the way they do it is we're all drinking fucking neat whiskey and smoking cigars. Yeah. No windows open, by the way. And we got, like, the game on and whatever. And then they're like, so, you like living in Stepford, bud?
Mm-hmm.
Everything going good? Blah, blah, blah. And so then
so,
it's like,
Matthew Broderick, do you like the battle bots we have here?
Right. So they've done a little gambling. Like, whoever wins this battle bots round, like, gets $20. So Walken or somebody's like, hey, Greg, don't you owe Matthew Broderick 20 clams? And he's like, oh, right. Hey, babe, can you come in here? And, like, this woman walks in. And he gives this woman his fucking debit card, and he's like,
puts it in her mouth.
He just gives it to her. She does of this, and it's just like, hey, babe, you know my PIN number. Can you get me $20? And she puts it in her mouth and pulls it out, and then there's a bunch of, like, machine noises, and 20 singles spits out, to which Matthew Broderick's reaction is nothing.
Yes.
This is when I, like, shit my pants and run out of this house, and his line is... Oh, it's all in singles.
I was surprised by the singles as well. That would have been my second question. But also,
first, What the fuck? Second now, singles?
Now, Matthew Broderick, you know how we just played BattleBots? Now, what if I told you you could fuck one of those BattleBots?
Could I fuck the Crusher?
You guys know how dirty money is, too?
Yes!
Like, you're gonna really, you're making a sex bot, and you're destroying the mouth with the dirty money?
The questions I have about, like, you're telling me these lunatics who do everything for money wouldn't just fucking take axes to these robots and pull out all the cash?
But, like,
well, where's that money coming from?
There's gotta be cash in them!
Dude, I would love it if they just got to a scene where it's like that couple at home and two dudes roll up in an armored car and it's one guy is leaning down opening this woman's stomach and the other dude is standing there with a gun just looking around.
Oh, man. And then two meth heads tip her over. It makes no fucking sense because that's not even a... That's no, literally no man's fantasy is I can get money out of my wife's mouth. All right, very few men.
I was going to say, Steve, check 4chan before you make a statement like that.
But it's just like, what are we talking about?
And that, by the way, that's another point for robots.
Yeah.
That's a robot thing.
That's a robot thing.
Steve hasn't checked Reddit r/moneymouthers.
Oh, boy, she's a money mouther. I want one of those.
And...
It's like an age gap love thing, like the granny
shagger.
Oh,
the bit of granny shagger.
It's a granny shagger.
Now you got the money. Dude, money mouthers?
Money.
Isn't wait, that was a George Clooney movie, right?
Yes, yeah. Him and directed by Jodie Foster.
All right, I'm going to get you through this money mouth situation. Just keep them on the air. Who's in the control booth in that? It's not
Julia Roberts.
It's Julia Roberts. That's right. Yeah.
Who's the guy?
It's George Clooney. No, the other
Jack,
guy.
The guy
trying to tip George Clooney over so that he could get the money out of his
from
mouth.
From 71.
Oh, Jack, whatever. Jack O'Connell or O'Donnell or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next kind of thing is like we go to Bette Midler's house and Nicole Kidman's like, I don't know about this whole situation. By the way, everyone has kids and it makes it's useless.
Yeah.
Like Nicole Kidman has children. They aren't characters, which is fine,
they're props.
You
forget they're even in this movie. They're in like two scenes, maybe.
At some point, she's like, oh, they're at summer camp. Like, fucking when?
But other kids aren't. Like, it should be like, oh, they're down the road. All the kids go to the Stepford Lake summer camp at
exactly.
the same time.
Yeah.
And just get those kids out of this movie. Because, like, Bette Midler and John Lovitz have, like, these three, like, plump little triplets.
A brood
or whatever.
Of hogs.
Like, it's disgusting.
And that's the whole joke with them is that they're just fucking fat.
Yeah. It's
well, I was a fat kid at the time, too. And this rang true because the one fat kid goes. They give him some Star Wars action figures, and he goes, "Where's Boba Fett?"
I was like, Mace Windu, though. Come on.
This is the other thing. So, like,
Mace Windu, please.
That scene it's the Bette Midler scene we kind of talked about already. After she gets like flipped.
Oh,
like,
she's also Stepford.
She's Stepford.
And this is when we actually have the deleted scene that we talked about earlier, where she becomes a lawnmower and has a.
What does that look like? Is she just like?
It's her legs. Her legs turn into like a push mower.
Yeah, I was gonna say she was like flipped over and she was just eating grass.
She's not a she's not a rider, if that's what you're asking. You can't mount her in
she
the yard.
She turns into like a Thomas the Tank Engine kind of thing, and John Lovitz is just riding her.
And then Dana Loresh or whatever the fuck puts a goddamn Klan hood over.
Oh god!
Right. I tangentially know what you're talking about.
But it's just another thing from domestic terrorist Dana Loesch at the NRA. Yes.
So the thing is like you know Nicole Kidman's like I think something's going on in the Stepford house. Let me go to my friend Bette Midler. She's a robot, and like her house is clean where it was shown as dirty before. And these three fat kids come in, and they're like, "Mom," and she's like, "Oh, here you go, kids. Here's your all these crazy lunches that you wanted, and here's your action figures, Mace Windu and Amidala." He's like, "No, Boba Fett's like they were out. Here's $500." Now, here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
They're
just selling prequels, action figures in Stepford.
Yeah, that's
well, Frank,
up.
Frank Oz is like, yeah, man, I get a little something. If
burn this town to the ground.
I agree with that.
But Frank, I just wanted to call and thank you, bud. Saw Stepford Wives, loved it.
But I also love the fact we're only selling prequels toys. Thanks for supporting the prequels. You know, Frank, I'm getting a lot of heat for those movies.
Well, you know, Revenge of the Sith's coming out next summer, and for some reason, a bunch of people years later will say it's good when it's not.
Frank, I just hear a tone. I don't think so.
Frank Oz never hangs up on George Lucas.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, dude. Right. You know, those prequels are rotten with Yoda. He's an all those movies. Right,
you don't look a gift horse in the mouth like that, man. He's getting a fucking Christmas card every year.
And he doesn't have to put his hand up nothing. It's like, true. Oh, CG, love it.
He doesn't have to put his ass anywhere either, except in the fucking recording booth.
But no, so like the idea is like, oh, yeah, she's like such a great mom or like such a subservient mom to her male kids. Again, male, female, whatever. But she's like, she's giving away this money, and I'm like, that's not what a good mother is, even like by like Donna Reed standards. Well, know what I mean? Like giving away $500. Like,
the beef never got $500.
Is the idea are the kids programming the mom or is the dad programming the mom?
Well, that was the thing. I was like, are the kids in on it or is Lovett's just like, all right, boys, listen up. Well, this is what we can do with your mother.
Is that mouth just printing money, man?
Well, that's the thing. I think she's got the bank in her now, and she just fucking spit out. She money mouthed.
Well, all right, so you got money mouth.
Baby got bank. Right. Right? To the tune of that other song.
You got money mouth. These are all my fetishes. Mm-hmm. It's a money mouth, lawnmower feet, beer in her heart.
Run me over and spit money on me. Just fucking grind my feet into pulp while you spew like fucking cocaine $20 bills in my face.
I didn't want to say it, but now this Steve's been so. I love sparks coming out of the head.
Oh, absolutely.
Just gets me going every time, every day.
Yeah, I love reaching into my wife's chest cavity to pull out ice cold shit beer.
So, Nicole Kidman finds out about the Stepford thing. This is when she like realizes all the women were at one point high powered, really smart women
by using the internet.
Ah.
She's doing a bunch of internet searches,
and then Matthew Broderick's like, "All right, we'll leave tomorrow, but go to sleep first." And she goes to bed, and she gets kidnapped by all these dudes.
There's
right?
a weird thing, like kind of around here, I think, where he like locks her in the house or whatever.
Yeah.
Where like she goes to open the door and it's locked and like she doesn't know the code. Ooh.
There's a weird deleted scene wherein
oh God, with the deleted scenes.
It's Matthew Broderick outside, he's having second thoughts, he's talking to two of the dudes and he's like, "Is it worth it?" They're like, "Yeah, it's worth it. I will tell you one thing, if you had to spend the extra money and get the cigarette lighter function. I wish I did too." And I'm like, what the fuck?
Nobody's smoking in this movie. Like, you have those cigars, but like, the women aren't allowed in the men's club. So what good is the fucking function of the lighter feature?
And do you need, like, you already got the money mouth. You got the lawnmower feet. Do you really need to shoot fire as well? Especially
also,
if you're putting your unit near it?
First of all, if I'm building a robot person, I want a helicopter head. That's like A number one.
Oh, of course. Here's my question, though, because that deleted scene is the only time any of this is mentioned, apparently. They're charging for this?
Yeah, somebody would have to make money from something.
But they're forcing you into this shit. What? That's the other thing that you want in this movie, too, is like, hey, Matthew Broderick, here's a picture of Jerry and his family. You know what Jerry's deal was? Jerry said no to us.
Yeah.
And we fucking buried him under the lake or something. You know what I mean?
There's something funny to be had there, though, of like, there's a salesman there that tells you what you can get.
Features and
you want the lighter fingers.
Traveling salesman doing this. Well, but there, towards the end of the movie, Christopher Walken does have a presentation, like a film that he shows.
This is insane.
And I think he mentions that Stepford is like the start, and then he's going to take it national, and then I guess make money off of it. These are like the prototypes.
Yeah, it's
even
it's,
though he's not actually even behind
it. It's his first big push, and it's doing very well. I give him that, but...
Trust me, I know it sounds like you would lose any and all erections or sexual interaction with a thing that turned into a lawnmower, but trust me, my friend, you will want that.
No. It's not just an expensive fleshlight. It's much more than that. It's a much more complicated machine.
Oh, so is she kidnapped? I thought she just wandered into the men's association
house. Yeah, she probably wants... you're probably right.
Because then, like, she walks in and she sees... She finds...
Well, she does this thing, like, where are my children? I'm like, who are your children? Honestly.
Yeah. they left the movie, ma'am. No, because she has a thing earlier in the film. Her and Bette Midler, when they're upstairs in the clubhouse, they see all the paintings of all the husbands, and they're all like with the wives and the kids and blah blah blah. She walks in and she discovers a painting of Matthew Broderick, the kids, and her with the long blonde flowing hair
from the cover of the movie,
right? Which she has for like 4 minutes in this film.
So she goes, and like this is the big reveal.
The dudes all come out like a fucking cult.
And Christopher Walken plays this video, and the fucking 1960s kitsch, you can fucking keep it.
Yeah, it's so stupid. He also kind of has a, like, that hurt John kind of moment, because he's supposed to, like, what is he doing? He's, like, giving a thumbs up to himself in the video.
Yeah, it's like he thumbs up to the other guy in the video, and like the idea is, like, oh, yeah, we put your wife in this area, and then she comes at a different person. And we don't say robot, but we don't not say robot. We do show,
we
like...
We say microchip, and
he's
we show...
microchips.
We show brains,
yes,
with cartoon
microchips.
Brains with cartoon microchips being attached to it. And he even says it. He's like, you put the microchips on.
That's it. I mean, there's also a weird thing in the video where it's like, you put your wife into this, like, sensory deprivation tank
female improvement system.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He has a whole you maniac. You made a whole marketing thing in front of this. He's got this promo video.
Yeah. Sure.
And the guy is leaving his fucking wife remote out in the living room in case a cop comes in.
That's a good point.
This was going to be like the inaugural Kickstarter. Didn't really take off yet, but this would have been the start.
But the weird thing is also, like, so yeah, it's we say it's chips in the brain. But then, like, there's this robo Nicole Kidman that is shown eyeless and creepy as all hell. Again, somebody spent a lot of money on this thing. $90 million went into this movie. It looks pretty good.
It's actually a scary part of the movie because, like, the eyes open and there's just holes there.
Yes. And
it's pretty cool.
But, like, what is that? Is that what she's supposed to become? Is that what she's not supposed to become?
See, the only good thing in this movie is them doing something from the original movie.
Yes.
Well, the eyeless thing is from the original, right? Because I think that was on, like, the poster or something.
Yeah.
Well, what we didn't see, of course, and this is very important, is that Matthew Broderick went down there with a whole thing of wigs and dresses and stuff for her to change very quickly while she's down there into this exact replica.
Well, that's what happens. They go. There's, like, a weird, twist. Like, platform thing where they kiss each other. She, like, kind of kisses him goodbye. She's like, I will do this for you to keep the marriage together or something.
Right.
And they go down and we cut to like 2 days later and she's in a grocery store.
Yes.
Shopping for fucking Alphabets, by the way. Here's an idea. Don't eat Alphabets because they're fucking disgusting.
No, get out of here.
Why don't I just cut open a corrugated cardboard box and put it in milk for you?
Dude, Alphabets are delicious.
Alphabets are fucking disgusting.
They're just like Frosted Cheerios.
Are you talking about the English language? What's going on here?
Alphabets. The cereal.
The what?
It was just like little wheat...
Little
cereal
word, little
shaped
letters.
Like letters.
Yeah. Little it's, letters. For
and they
you.
Were frosted? It's delicious.
I have never eaten an Alphabet.
Oh, get on Alphabets. Oh,
man, Steve, I can't believe
I'm
this.
I'm anti-Alphabet.
You know what I like? Alpen.
What?
I like Alpen.
What is that?
Isn't that like a granola type thing?
Yeah, it's got like little oats. It's got some little dried
I took you for a grape
fruit.
Nuts, man.
Oh, I was a big grape nuts.
What
dude.
A bag
I was,
of sand.
I was a
dude,
huge
let
grape
me tell
nuts
you, these,
fan.
These
huge,
fucking all-natural and organic cereals where we're just dumping trail mix in a box and calling it cereal. Thanks, but no thanks.
It's really good, though.
Really good. I hear what you're saying, but it's really good.
Fucking disgusting trail mix as cereal.
I think
I
lost the thread. I apologize.
Well, okay, so you were saying that you dislike this cereal. You know what I hate is that goddamn, what's that frog?
Golden Smacks.
Oh, Honey Smacks?
Honey Smacks.
That's too sweet.
Shoot it to the moon. Sweet. It's not even sweet. It tastes like shit. It's like shit
Honey
in the
Smacks
box.
Are also great.
No, they
as
are not.
As is Golden Crisp because they're just the same cereal.
Oh, that's the answer.
See, now it's that I understand your flavor profile, I will take Steve's side. Alphabets are clearly wrong.
Were the Golden Crisp the one where the bear that punched?
I don't know if he was hitting things.
What that doesn't wasn't
can't
it like
get enough of that golden because he had a cool blue t-shirt
on. Right, yeah, yeah. That dude was like fucking abducting children with that fucking cadence.
That guy's voice. That guy was awesome, dude. He was just high as a kite eating cereal all the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Look at one cartoon of that Golden Crisp fucking bear. Hey, he's high as a kite.
Hey there, kids. You want some cereal? I can't go near a school. All right, where do we stand on Frosted Flakes and Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Both delicious.
Yes, I was trying to find some common ground, and
there
I think
it
we've
is.
Established
they're both
it.
Delicious.
Steve?
Frosted Flakes, yes. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, no.
Jesus Christ, Steve.
It's fine for the first two bites, but then it's like soft
it little...
nothing.
Oh,
I love when it's soft. Oh. Then you can get more on the spoon.
Oh, no.
You know what? I do think it should be a little harder. So I understand your point.
Honey Nut Cheerios, man.
That's fine.
That is classic.
I think that's the universal.
I think we could, Chris, do we agree?
Yes.
All right.
All right. Just stop this.
I think we're done here. yes, I will recommend. What did you just say? Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yes.
Yes. Also, I like Apple Jacks.
Oh, yeah.
Apple Jacks are fine. Apple Jacks are pretty
good. Oh, here we go. We got another one.
Fruit Loops hate movies, breakfast party.
So,
ABB, dude.
All right, ABB.
It's for the sleepover later.
Yeah, we're not talking about the movie anymore, Steve. We're talking about cereals.
We go to some
Welcome back to Crunchcast.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I'll do the Crunchcast with you gentlemen any old day of the week. Yeah. I love the idea of the sleepover. It's not going to happen, but it should happen soon.
It'll never happen.
No. So we cut to this big party.
Right.
And like the brainwashed Nicole Kidman is there.
It's like a coming out ball.
Yes. And like now everyone's in the fold, so everyone's kind of a bit more brazen about everything. And Matthew Broderick, who's the hero of this movie all of a sudden, goes down while Nicole Kidman distracts Christopher Walken and like starts doing something with pressing the wrong button.
He's just mashing buttons
on
a touchscreen. That's all he's doing.
And like all of a sudden, all these women, like there's some blue shit that happens on them. And they're like, say, this is a bunch of horse malarkey. As opposed to either A, being robots, or B, being like, I don't know, like fucking what the fuck? And
screaming.
Like literally trying to cut somebody's head off.
Roger Bart has like the strongest reaction. He just goes, what am I wearing?
Yes, exactly. And actually, one of the deleted scenes actually shows one of, I think it's Faith Hill. Faith Ford?
Faith Hill.
Faith Hill. Like with a robot hand choking her husband. But they cut that, I think, because they didn't know what this movie was.
Because Christopher Walken's fucking Jurassic Park video is just talking about microchips.
And also, wouldn't they just be brain dead? You put these fucking microchips in their brain, and now
especially,
they're gone.
He's not like he's an accomplished. He's just a dude. just a dude in Connecticut. This is a mad scientist. They should all just be, all these women should just be drooling, sitting in a corner.
I want to see the fuck up ones, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's at the step for like mental health hospital or whatever. It's just like women with huge fucking grody scars on their
heads. It's Dahmertown.
Totally.
He's got them all in like big back the tanks.
Just dropping LSD on brains, dude.
So Christopher Walken's like, oh no, I've been found out. You've ruined it. And then like somehow he is revealed to be a robot, I guess.
Someone hits him in the head with a pipe or something.
Oh, that's right. No,
shovel or something?
That's right. He's going to hit Matthew Broderick with something.
Uh-huh.
And then Nicole Kidman knocks his head off with a fucking like... with a pipe. And
something,
it's like,
yeah.
And then like Glenn Close comes out. She's like, no, it was me the whole time. And like, I guess I caught my husband cheating on me and I went crazy.
During this scene, I immediately checked IMDb trivia because I was certain something would be there and it wasn't, because we do have a shot of Christopher Walken standing there without a head. Wow. I was waiting for that. You know, he was also the headless horseman.
Oh, yes, you're totally right.
I was shocked.
Trivia!
I was shocked it wasn't there.
That's a fun trivia fact.
There is a bad trivia fact about... It's Matthew Broderick in the fight scene with Nicole Kidman. He's like, that's it. Game over. Marriage over. And it's like, this is obviously a reference to the movie War Games. I'm like, no, it's not. And shut the fuck up. I am the trivia.
What reference to War Games?
That is dumb. That's even worse than the Sleepy Hollow connection.
That person should be banned from the IMDb.
Not enough bannings, man.
So Glenn Close is like, something, my husband was cheating on me, all I envisioned, she says, quote, a world of romance and beauty. And I guess she was like, she says that she was, like all the other women in this town, she was a big success. She was the most successful brain surgeon in the world.
Oh, shit.
And then she kisses Christopher Walken's robot head, and much like his character Max Schreck, is electrocuted to
death. Oh, nice! Yeah, another
trivia fact. It's a fun trivia. Oh, trivia facts! I just love movie trivia.
See, I want every time I read that for one of those facts, I want that to happen.
Trivia.
And like that's kind of, and then we cut to, of course, because you could not
no.
keep him out of a movie. You could not keep him out. Larry fucking King.
Yep. 6 months later, her, Nicole Kidman, Midler, and Roger Bart are on Larry King Live.
Who would, by the way, 110% get a sex robot?
He absolutely would.
He would be totally. He'd be way into this idea.
How young you got him? All right, I guess that'll do. My sex robot ain't been born yet.
But so then it's like, so Nicole Kidman has produced like an award-winning, hard-hitting documentary for television about this.
I am here with the Justice League. No, wait, what? Who's it? The Ninja? No, Cloverfield? Oh, no, the Stepford Wives, everyone.
Remember when I spoke with the Ghostbusters? That is my supreme movie cameo.
I am here with Daffy Duck.
Now, Daffy, have you tried my bagel shop open on Fairfax? Now, you know, we get the water from Brooklyn.
I am talking to Wayne and Garth.
Roger Rabbit, have you ever actually had a shave and a haircut?
And did you, sir, actually pay 2 bits for it?
All right, exploding fat lady head from Total Recall. Hello, ma'am.
Sitting back in the chair with me again for the next hour, Flubber.
my guest.
Flubber. Just Flubber. Not the scientist who made Flubber, just Flubber.
My guest tonight is whatever Slither is.
I haven't seen the movie, but I'm sure I'm in it. Yeah, but no, he's like, oh, you wrote... You know, you wrote, what is she? No, she made it a movie.
And then Slither danced the night away. Oh, was that Casey Kasem in Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters danced the night away with a bunch of models in Times Square. Happy New Year.
They also caught the soul of a dog named Snuggles.
No, Nicole Kidman made a documentary about the situation and an expose, a Geraldo in the 80s-esque expose.
It's like, speaking of Wayne and Garth, somebody hit super happy ending because everybody wins.
Exactly. Bette Midler has written a series of books that have been quite successful. And then Roger Bart and his husband are doing something
with
it.
He won the senatorial seat, apparently. Oh, as did himself,
he?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that.
And it's like, who, I mean, and they're like, he's going to be the next president. Winkity wink, wink, who cares?
Right.
But like, it should be a dark satire. Somebody should be dead. Like,
someone should kill Lovitz. Who fucking cares?
Or just end it with, I mean, if this expose is actually out there and people have seen it, all these motherfuckers are in jail.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All the husbands are going to jail.
But
totally.
I think instead of that,
yeah.
What are they doing instead, Eric?
We should get a tactical nuclear strike.
That's also a very
right?
good
just
idea.
Just like AVP wreck, right? Yes. They should just bomb this town.
But I think you're here switching. With the Predator. Gang.
Oh, I got a correction from the home office. I'm talking to the Predalien.
Predator. Oh, I'm sorry. Wolf.
Wolf.
May I ask you, what the fuck is that blue stuff?
I hate it. Love it at the same time.
Well, the blue, I use it to cover up crime scenes. And yes, thank you, Larry, for calling me Wolf, because I want what you want, civilization.
I'm here talking with gremlins. Several gremlins.
What's this little furry one? Is that a Oh, it's got to eat first. Well, you know, there's a bagel shop on Fairfax.
I'm here talking with a CGI representation of Weird Al parodying the Money for Nothing video in UHF.
I'm here tonight with the CGI Marmaduke.
Oh, man.
Tonight I am joined with Karen Carpenter, the Barbie doll version of Karen Carpenter from the Todd Haynes movie, Karen Carpenter Story.
Excellent.
So what do you think of the Dodgers this year?
But yes, the last scene is all of the men, not Broderick because he's a beautiful baby angel man, but it's Lovitz and all these other dudes like in the grocery store trying to get like groceries together and like, if I don't get this, she'll kill me. And then I think it's Nicole Kidman's voice comes with a loudspeaker. It's like, no talking, just shopping. And
oh, is it her voice?
Or it's some lady's voice. And it's like, what are we talking
about?
Dude,
the last shot of this movie is like a security camera angle of a grocery store.
Yeah.
Fuck you, everybody. Come on. I can't believe how much of a disaster this was. It's outrageous that this was like, just, you know what? Admit defeat and fucking file it away.
Shelve it.
Just never release it.
If only there was Netflix in 2004.
Oh, right. Yes. I mean,
they were DVDs, I guess, but if only there was streaming.
Start to finish, just awful.
Horrible.
And it's like, there are so many ways to update the concept of that movie. Wasting a great cast, wasting a great concept.
Yeah, sure.
You can update that concept for 2004 in some way if anybody thought about it for 2 little minutes.
We're in the fucking heaps of one of the worst presidencies of all time. Like, maybe make it a little bit political. Maybe we get some Bush stuff in there.
Maybe.
Some
shit. How about anything?
How about anything would be great.
And figure out, first and foremost, if it's a robot or if it's microchips.
So I'm guessing you're not recommending this film.
No, I would not. It's really dreadful. It's a real dreadful watch.
It's possibly the most painful 96 minutes. Like, I thought that was going to be the blessing here, is that I was going to be in and out of this thing.
It feels longer.
It felt so fucking long. No, don't watch it.
Yeah, I'm also a no. I mean, see the 75 film if you want to, but it's also a little long, but it's better. It does the concept right. Yeah.
It's so funny, though, because, like, the one thing I will give this movie, I didn't think it felt long because, like, I saw this in the theaters, and I didn't remember a thing about it, but when it was, like, clearly wrapping up, I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. It makes no sense to be wrapping up right now, but I'll take it.
I was doing this last night, and I was pausing to do laundry, and I was, like, so excited to pause to do laundry.
Oh, dude, when you're excited for a pause,
You were letting it all hang out? I would have just let the baby ride.
Just keep, you know what? Don't pause it. That is The Stepford Wives from 2004, directed by Frank Oz. If you want more We Hate Movies, check us out on the HeadGum Network or find us over on whmpodcast.com. And, of course, for bonus content, patreon.com/wehatemovies. Rate and review wherever you get us. We would greatly appreciate that. Now, Steve Sadak, as always, the program runs on. Next week, what do we got going on?
Well, we are in the spooktacular, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
It's finally upon us.
Oh, shit.
It is finally upon us.
So many people already super psyched, by the way, which I'm loving the enthusiasm for the 2018 spooktacular.
I would say turn it down on it, though. And we are going to do Hellraiser 3.
Ooh.
Finally.
This is a Chris Cabin pick.
Oh, God.
I'm excited. I've only seen Hellraiser 1 and the Lance Henriksen
video
Superman
game one.
Yeah.
With Henry Cavill.
Yeah. Which is a stay tuned and a half. But I'm excited to start a little early here.
I am not excited for this at all.
You shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one. Is this the one where it's like three different time periods? Is this
no,
Bloodline?
That's Bloodline. That's the later one. This one is Hell on Earth and the CD Massacre that we'll talk about.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
Is this the one where the dude from Baby Cakes is like a private detective? Or like a scuzzy
Craig
cop or something?
I think so.
Ooh. Well, I guess we'll find out next week when the spooktacular kicks off with Hellraiser 3. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sexbot.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska. I'll just say that.
100%
family-friendly comedian.
Yeah, there you go.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.